Good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we just welcome you here. We thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your loving kindness, for your mercy that you pour out on us every day. We thank you for what you have for us today. I look forward to hearing from you, Holy Spirit, what you would have, not only for me, but what you have for each person here. And just thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I was sharing with a couple people this morning, within the last hour, God did a reorder of what I'm sharing today. He didn't do a rewrite, which is more comfortable to deal with. If he says, just throw that out, we're going, it's like, oh boy. But there's a reorder, so what I immediately thought was, well, that's going to attach me more to my screen here because I got to see where he's got me going. Normally, I don't like being fixed in one place and it's just me. Everyone's different. I like talking to people over here and then people here and seeing everybody. But I am excited again. What I also shared is for me, because I've prepared these lessons out in advance, almost the hardest thing for me up here is not sharing what I know I'm supposed to share next week and the week after that, because I'm so excited about that. But he has something exciting for each one of us today, too. And I hope you have your expectation up. It's one of the things Pastor Bill and I talked about. We got to spend a little bit of time together this week. And I said, the upcoming Armada landmark that's been in your bulletins, I told him, every year that I go there, God gets something to me. And I said, but what I also know is the key is I go expecting to get something from him. And what I found, if I go expecting, I get something. If I don't go expecting, not saying that it rules it out, because God can get you things even when you're not expecting it. As I'm sure many of you are aware, out of the blue, you're thinking, well, I was just minding my own business, and wow, there was God. But in general, if you want to get something, be expecting something. So have your expectation up this morning that God has something specifically for you. Okay? I know what he shared for me in this. Some great things. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. Like to start with the title that I've shared each week. And because it's so important as to why God is having me share this, and that is, take your next step in love. And the meaning behind that is to the point that you have revelation in a given area of God, because God is love, consider that before you do what you're going to do next. Am I going to do what God has for me to do? He said, well, do this. Well, until you've really learned it, but until it's really become part of your character, you have to stop and think, okay, God just revealed this to me about love. I need to consider that as I go to do this, because we're supposed to do everything that we do in love. Now, once it's become a part of you and part of your character, you don't have to spend the time really thinking about it. You'll just do it that way. But hopefully, as we talked about over the last couple of weeks in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3:12, 4:1 and 2, and 4:9 and 10, it says that we are to increase and abound in love. So hopefully, God's going to keep giving revelation to each of us as to more and more of who he is, and therefore more and more about love, because it's who he is. And so we should be constantly growing in love, becoming more like he is, becoming his children, as the word says. Coming as children, becoming more like him. And we find that we're able to do that when we ask him for the desires of our heart. If the desire for your heart is to grow in love, trust me, he wants it more for you than more than you even want it. So when you say to God, God, I want more revelation of who you are, specifically in this area of love, he's just waiting for that from you. And you can trust him and know that when you ask him for that, guess what's going to happen? the tests are going to come. Those you don't have to ask for. I talked about that last week, that someone I know was actually praying for the test, and I'm going, I had never prayed for a test in my life. But I do ask for growing to be more like God. And you can be assured that when you ask that, some tests are going to come. And it's one of the things I'm going to share in two different areas of my own life today. Well, one today, I don't think we'll get to the second one. It'll probably be next week. About how God has taken me through certain things in love. And the one I'm going to share today is about long-suffering. And in each case, as we talk about these, I'm going to spend a little bit of time on a definition. Because, I don't know, have you ever carried on a conversation with someone and you're saying something, and then they talk to you afterwards and they got something totally different than what you said? Well, oftentimes their definition of a word or a phrase that you're talking about is different than yours. So you may be trying to communicate one thing, but they're hearing another. Okay? So when I'm sharing, I like to say, this is what this word means as I'm sharing it with you. Because then you can think of it the same way that I'm trying to share it, and therefore get out of it the same thing that God is showing me in that way. So I plan on looking at the definition of each word that we're going to cover. And then the very next thing we're going to go to is God's example of it. Because we're talking about love and he's love. Guess what? His word shows us how he is those different parts of love. And I use that term parts loosely. I've been using different phrases, areas, aspects. It's one of the things I'm going to share today, and you're going to hear throughout the rest of this teaching, is that though we're talking about them as individual parts, to talk about them, it's really one whole. Because God is one whole. It's all love. And in fact, if you were to walk in one aspect of love and not walk in another aspect of love, you're not walking in love. You have to walk in all of it, all of the time, to be walking in love. And many of them work together. In other words, you really can't even do one of them without doing the other one. That's one of the things I'm going to share today that God showed me as he was taking me through this test. And I say that because I'm still in it. Part of the definition, probably the easiest one we're going to define, is long-suffering. Because you know what it means? It means to suffer for a long time. It doesn't get much easier than that. And so the one I'm going to share with you today, for me, started about 10 years ago, and it's still going on, okay? It's not like it's over. Out of all of them, as we go through these, there are several that when I said we should ask for more of the love of God, there are some that is, how would I put it, more comfortable asking for more of it than others, like asking for more loving kindness. Oh, that's good. Have you ever went to God and say, I need to have more long-suffering? That's a little bit a harder ask, at least in my mindset. Now, I do know from having walked in this one for at least 35 years, because there's been other examples in my life, that there is a pleasure in it. Because when we do walk in it the way that we're supposed to, we can know that we're pleasing God, because that's what he wants. So that's really where the pleasure is in walking in long-suffering. I don't think you'll find too much happiness or anything else as you go through the long-suffering, because by definition, it's suffering. So it's not necessarily fun, as the world would call it, okay? But it is pleasing to God when you walk in it, okay? So keep that in mind. And this is part of the reorder that God had me share. I plan on talking today mainly about long-suffering, but it ties directly into his loving-kindness, which we finished last week. I introduced that when God shared with Moses when he went up the mountain the second time to get the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 34:6, he shared with Moses who he was, or at least many of the things he was. You can find more. It's not an all-inclusive list throughout God's word. But there he listed several things that he wanted to get to Moses at that time. This is who I am. Two of those were that he was long-suffering and loving-kindness. And then when you fast forward to the New Testament, when you go into the chapter that many will call the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, specifically verses 4 through 8. To me, it's no coincidence that the first two things it says is love suffers long and is kind. So in other words, what God said he was in Exodus to Moses is what the Bible says love is, right from the very beginning. So those are the first two we're going to look at. We're going to look at many aspects over the coming weeks. But I was going to share one and then the other, and more or less God said, just mix them all together. These two anyhow. Because they tie together so much. So I'd already shared earlier what God shared with me on January 1st. And I can tell you that on January 2nd, he shared this verse with me. This is where he took me. Now, this is a great verse to hear. For any of you, if this is where God takes you on a day, it's a good place to camp out for a while. And it's actually found in Psalm 63:3. And it says, "Your loving kindness is better than life." And if you spend time thinking about that, really what's being said there is if you spend one day in God's loving kindness, that's better than, let's say, 36,500 days of not being there. That's 100 years, in case you're wondering. In other words, if you had 100 years without God's loving kindness, would you trade that in for one day of God's loving kindness? For those of us who have been there and experienced it, we wouldn't trade it in at all. 100 years without God's loving kindness, to have that 100 years, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Just one day in his loving kindness. The key is we don't have just one day. We get a lot of them. That's right. We get a lot of them. But what God showed me also in this was I got to spend the day just thinking about his loving kindness. Great place to be. But he also impressed upon me this. And it goes in with why I had those of you who shared last week share. If what they shared and of what God shared, if this is love and God is love and we're supposed to be as he is in this world, then that means that we're supposed to be walking in this too. Okay? So he pours out his loving kindness on us. So guess what we're supposed to do? Pour out loving kindness on our fellow man. Right? And it's the way with everything that we're going to talk about. We're going to see God's examples, but when we see them, we got to know right away, well, then that means that's how I'm supposed to treat my fellow man. Okay? So, like I said, mainly I'm going to be in long suffering, but there's a great link to loving kindness, especially in this testimony that I'm going to give, that as God has taken me through this one and still going through, as I said. I'd like you all to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Now, what you're going to find here is the next couple verses, you won't see the word love mentioned anywhere. In fact, you're going to say, what's this have to do with love or long-suffering or anything? But I want to piece this together as God showed it to me. And what 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 7 says is that 17 says is, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Now, isn't that worth a hallelujah or an amen? Okay? Now, what's that have to do with love? Well, think about this. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." That world includes all those who are not saved, who are sinning a lot, every year, every month, every day, every hour, because they have a sin nature. And sin grieves God. I don't know if you know, God doesn't hang around where sin is, okay? The Bible actually makes it pretty clear. It literally grieves the heart of God. So he says he loves the world, but he hates sin. So here's the tie-in to love. I'd like you now to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And what I will say as I share this, what you're going to hear is a phrase. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Key is, notice that singular? God's given us many promises in his word. But he's talking about one specific promise. And he's talking about the promise that we just read about in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. You do know the most famous person to say, I'll be back, is not some actor in a movie. It's Jesus. Okay? And you can take that to the bank. Okay? He said, I'll be back. But in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And if you want to read in context to find out if in fact what I'm saying is truth, that it is in context, that this is a promise, just read the rest of the chapter. It actually makes it clear this is the promise he's talking about. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is what? Long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, he's long-suffering with all that sin that the world is living in. Why? Because he wants those who are not his yet to have time to receive his free gift, even though they're constantly sinning, and he's got to put up with it. This is long-suffering on God's part. This is what it says right here. He's long-suffering toward us, those who are sinning all the time. Why? Because he loves us, and he wants those of us, those here in the world who do not know him yet, to have time to receive his free gift. Because once he comes, there's no turning back then. There's no turning around, changing your mind. It's done. So he is practicing long-suffering by not having come back yet with this sin. And the Bible makes it very clear that this is what he's practicing right here. So what I'd like to share next is a story, as I said, from my own life. And it's, once again, not a makeup story. It's a true story. And one of the things that we'll get into later as we develop more of the aspects of love is what you shouldn't do is go around telling everybody about how you're walking in love. Literally. It's one of the things that's covered that we're going to talk about specifically when you read the word. Okay? Now, we testify about the work that God's done in us. I can tell you what I'm sharing with you. I wouldn't be sharing if God didn't lead me to do it. But it's really the way that he's going to have me share this. And I haven't shared this with anyone in the last, I'll say, 3 or 4 years. I shared it with Pastor Bill and let him know that I'd be sharing it this morning recently. But talking about what you're long-suffering in is not how God has you handle it. Now, if he directs you to get some wise, godly counsel in an area and you have to share part of what you're going through, well, then that's under his direction and you do that. But you just don't go around telling everybody about, let's say, the sins that someone's committing against you, because long-suffering is with people. Okay? So God's directed me to share this fairly generally. There'll be no names mentioned. If someone were to go back to my life before and started digging around in the little town that I grew up in, could you piece it together and find out? I don't think any of you will, which is a good thing. Okay, and I would hope that wouldn't be your desire. That's all I have to say. So, but I'm only going to share to the extent so you can see what I was going through. So there was something involved for me to be long-suffering. A certain individual who I would call, first of all, a brother in Christ, went to the same church that I did. I taught his children in children's church. He wasn't just an acquaintance at church. We were friends. We went out golfing together. In other words, it wasn't just high on Sunday morning or whatever. We hung out together. And if I had small jobs to do around my house, I was busy working and not the type of person that does anything mechanically that requires some mechanical inclination, you know, how to do things, that's not me. So if you're looking for someone, don't come looking at me. I'm just not that person, okay? I have a little project that I was talking to someone about this morning. I go, I could cut some logs and nail something together, but that's about it, okay? So, and that's what this project I have coming up involves, so I can handle that one. And I really don't even have the equipment around my house to do stuff like that because I just don't do it. I hire the people that know how to do it, and then I do what I'm supposed to do, okay? That's just the way God has had me do this. But anyhow, I reached a point where I decided to do a major project with my house. I had gotten to the point where I'd worked hard enough, long enough, doing what God had me do, where I had the funds to do something that I wanted to do with my house. And this gentleman that I'd had do these small jobs, he had his own small construction company. And because I knew him well, I knew what was going on in his life, and at least some of it. Some other parts got to surprise me in the middle of this story. But what happened was he was working on his first major build of a new home. When I talked to him about doing this to remodel my house, he says, well, on days where I'm waiting for materials and things to come, and I'll come in and do the work on your house, and it'll keep me busy, and I really won't miss any days of work, and so that'll be a good thing. With the expectation, this might take 3 months, okay, because it's just not going to be coming in. It could have been a week-long project if they showed up and worked, you know, every day. But it could take 3 months. I'm like, that's fine with me. I like being able to make it so he can be working every day. And as was always our agreement, I would always pay him half the money up front on the job that he'd estimated. So he had all his supplies and parts, everything he needed to do the job. Didn't come out of his money. It came out of what I gave him up front, and then I'd pay the other half at the end. Well, in this case, we did that, and that upfront money was $10,000. And he tore my house all apart and then didn't come. So in other words, he turned my house into a mess. A bedroom downstairs, a bedroom upstairs, and a small bathroom that I was turning into a master bathroom. And he just wouldn't show up. And I kept calling him, and he wouldn't come. And all I can say is, to shorten the story up considerably, is after being lied to many times, having $15,000 embezzled from me, having check fraud more than once, God brought me to a place that I wasn't able to handle without him. All I can say, trust me, I hadn't disowned him as a friend. I hadn't, you know, gone off on him as some people will do if you're in a situation like this. Because right now I'm out $25,000, and it gets worse, but I won't even go into those details. So things started adding up, and I'm going through this. And this is over a period. It didn't happen at once. This happened over like a period of a year and a half. So the long suffering is starting to get a little too long for me, is what I was saying, you know? And I was about at a breaking point. And then one day, God took me to a passage in Luke. And we're not necessarily going to go there and look at it bit by bit, but just kind of like give you an encapsulation, which most of you know is and he took me to the example of Jesus going to and at the cross. This is just in my quiet time with him. And what he showed me was this. Going to the cross, we know that the soldiers were mocking Jesus. It tells us that. That the rulers were sneering at him, saying things about him. Even the prisoners who were going to die with him on the cross were blaspheming him. He's now on the cross, so they're literally killing him. And what does Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he said this to me. And I like to put it sometimes, he had the audacity to say this to me. But he is God, and he can. Someone else might not get away with this with me. I'm serious, but God can. When you know it's God, you go, yep, that's God, and that's what I need to do. Certain things you can receive from certain people. Other things, it just pretty much takes God. And he knows that. So Jesus said, for they know not what to do. I'd like you now to look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Because he had one more thing to share with me when he took me to the cross. So he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he didn't take me to this scripture at that time, but what he said to me was the last thing that it says here in Colossians 3, 12 and 13. There it says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, I had a complaint against another. I had a lot of complaints against another, okay? And they'd been stacking up. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And that's what he said to me. Jesus is on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. And he said, you know this man that's doing this to you? Even so, you must do. Right while he's doing it to you. See, the key with long suffering is it really doesn't end, at least not anytime soon. But the key for you is, and this is why this is so important, I had to look at this. I had to be able, in order for me to walk in long suffering, I had to be able to forgive. So if you find yourself going through long suffering and you're having trouble getting through it, ask yourself, have you forgiven the person that's causing you to have to go through long suffering? Because until you do, the long suffering is really going to be tough. Basically impossible is what I'm saying. I was finding it impossible. I mean, I was struggling through. I hadn't written him off as a friend, but it was really tough. But the moment, even so as I do, forgive them right while they're sinning against you. See, to me, it's pretty easy to forgive someone once the sin's done. They sin once, that's in the past. I forgive you. But let it keep going and going, and it's still going while you're asked to forgive them, and there's a good chance it's going to keep going, which it has. But once I forgave him, right while it was going on, God then enabled me in doing that to be able to walk through the long suffering that he had for me to walk through. And I've been able to do it. Said, I haven't even mentioned it in 3 or 4 years till sharing this with you guys. In fact, God even gave me the opportunity. I got to go to a men's breakfast up in Titusville, where I'm originally from. And I was sharing on a Saturday morning. Once a month, the men would get together. And I was sharing. And I came in and got my food and set it down on a table. Now, most of you know when I get food, I get food. So both hands were full. And so I had to go back up to get my drink. Well, in the meantime, this gentleman who I'd been long-suffering with came in with his son. He didn't know I was the one speaking. He came in, and the two of them sat down at the small table with me. Only he didn't know that. I didn't know that. I come back with my drink, and they're sitting there. I'm like, this is just good. And we had the greatest breakfast together. Not one mention of all this that went on. There was not a mention of it. All I did was love him the way I was supposed to. But that wouldn't have been possible if I hadn't forgiven him. Because it was eating at me. Trust me. Now, I want you to see a link here to something. Because the other thing that we're going to talk about today is God's loving kindness. Okay? So, I want you to all go look at Psalms chapter 51 and verse 1. Give you a second to get there. Another great verse, because this is kind of God toward us. But what I'm saying is, everything God toward us has to be us toward man as well. Okay? This is the thing we always need to consider as we're getting revelation from God as to who he is. We have to know if that's who he is, then that's who we are to be in this world. Okay? Psalms 51:1 says this, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness." Okay. So the mercy is according to what? His loving kindness. Okay? That loving kindness is the same word that God used to describe himself back in Exodus 34:6. It's the word chesed, which literally translated means loving kindness. But what helps is to look at the definition of what chesed really means. The full, what does that Hebrew word mean when it says loving kindness? And first, in that verse that we're reading, it says, "Have mercy upon me." That word mercy means to, as the Hebrew word means, it means to bend or stoop in kindness, we're talking mercy, in kindness to another. So, in other words, we're to reach out to the person in kindness. That's what that word mercy there means. Oh God, according to your loving kindness. And if you read the definition of that word loving kindness, it literally means, part of the definition is to be merciful. It literally says merciful kindness. That's in loving kindness. You see, God pours out his mercy on us. Mercy, a general short definition, is not getting what you deserve. Okay? So he pours out his mercy on us. We don't get what we deserve for the sins we committed. We get him and the blood of Jesus and forgiveness of sins. We did nothing to deserve that. So now what are we supposed to do? Give mercy. So in other words, how do we give mercy? We forgive those, just as God forgave us, of that which they're doing towards us. That's our act of mercy. That's our act of loving kindness, is to forgive them, and even in this long suffering, right while they're doing it. Okay? So another part of that definition, if you look at the Greek word used in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, for loving kindness, it also says, the part we just talked about, it's to be merciful, but it also means to do good works out of kindness. You do the good works, it says, out of kindness. And it is God over and 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 over. I got to spend, there's a verse, and let's see if I can find this. I know it's in Psalms, and I can't even remember if I put it down here. Let's see if I can find it in my notes real quick. There's a passage in Psalms. If I can't find it, you'll just have to trust me that it's in there. Actually, it's Psalms 48:9. Now I'll never be able to find where I was on my notes. But it says there, "We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness." It's something he showed me this week, and I spent the last several days just thinking about nothing but his loving kindness. That's a great thing to do. In fact, if you haven't done that recently, why don't you do that this week? It brings you to a really good place. Just think about all the good things, because it's part of this.